redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I came to Jesus weary, worn, and sad. He took my sins away, he took my sins away. And now his love has made my heart so glad. He took my sins away. He took my sins away, he took my sins away. And keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad he took my sins away. He took my sins away. I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed. Oh, my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. Since I have been redeemed, since I have been redeemed, I will glory in his name. Since I have been redeemed, I will glory in my Savior's name. I will glory in Jesus' name.
The scripture for these mornings are in Psalm 96, verse 1, verse 8, and verse 9. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we open the morning worship service at Bethel Baptist Church here in Morgan Hill with the purpose of presenting the Lord Jesus Christ again. We know him, many know him, but we want the people, not only here in the auditorium, but there in the large audience of our radio broadcasts, to know more and more and more about Jesus. He is the only one who can heal us. He's the only one who can take us as sinners and turn our hearts around and give us a new heart. And as we just learned a few minutes ago in the Sunday school class, give us the righteousness and the purity of Christ Jesus. Father, we pray that through the service, we, the people of God, may receive your word with gladness. We pray that the choir may praise you with a true heart. And we pray that those who are experiencing difficulties, whether emotionally, physically, or mentally, they may receive the comfort of the scripture. We pray, Father, for Thanksgiving, because there are many the last Wednesday in our prayer day. We pray and we have received news. We have great answers, especially our brother Vitola's sister. Thank you, Father, for the great recovery. I thank you, Lord, that we pray for my daughter, and the medicine start working. And we thank you, Lord, that in the difficulty of a parasite and different things, you work through medicine. You work in a marvelous way. We pray, and you answer. But there are others, members of our church, who have been touched by the infirmities of this world, by difficulties and struggles. My prayer first is for comfort in their heart, knowing that God knows what He's doing and that He is in control of everything. And secondly, that those people who are in difficulty may lift up their eyes to Jesus. As the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh Lord, give us the comfort of Your presence and the hope of Your power. Bless us through the service. Touch our missionaries, whether in Nicaragua with Brother Mendoza now preaching, or we're in Ukraine with our Brother Lewis teaching and preparing himself in the Ukraine language, our Brother Knott and our Brother Perez training people for the gospel's sake in Spain. Our Christian center here, Lord, for the crisis, when people are in a real difficulty, thank You, Lord, that we have an umbrella where they can listen and follow Your word. For the crisis center, we pray and we thank You for. And now, Lord, for our nation, in need of a Savior. We have everything. People are saying, we got money. People are saying, we got works. People are saying, we are progressing. But spiritually, Lord, I have a feeling there is no soul. And so I pray for every pastor around America that they may teach Christ with boldness, that they may lift up the scriptures as the authority of God, and that they may challenge your people to live holy lives before the presence of others so others can be saved. That's why we are opening the doors here, Lord, so the people can be saved. Bless us today. And bless us, Lord, because we pray on Wednesday for many people to be saved, and we want to see them saved. We love them, and we want to see them in the kingdom. Oh, God, have mercy on them. Bless me as I'm going to preach the word, that I may honor Christ and Christ alone. In His name I pray, and I thank You. Amen. Will you please stand and take the hymn books? And open in number 229. Will you stand as we sing this beautiful song, 229. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we come into your presence now with thanksgiving because we bring the tithe and the offering into thy kingdom. Bless the offering, bless the giver. In the name of Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Dear friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you from Bethel Baptist Church. At this moment, the offertory is placed in our chapel, and I want to use this occasion to speak to you and to say thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to your home. I want to give you two phone numbers whereby you can reach me in case of need. One is 778-2595. And the other 779-2300. Again, area code 408-778-2595. That's our church office. And then my office, 408, area code 779-2300. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And if you have any need, any consultation, please do not hesitate to call. We are here to serve. Now let's join this service in progress.
Give him glory, praise. Brother Vitola this week is on a job assignment in Nevada. We pray the Lord's blessing on him and give him a safe journey back home. In the meantime, our scripture reading for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 24. And when you have found it, would you please rise for the reading of his holy word? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 24. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we can meet to hear your holy word preached today. Be with the pastor as he gives the message of the resurrection, and be with the hearers that they accept the message he has to bring. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you again, and I would like you, before I pray, to turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Pastor will have the opportunity to preach his resurrection sermon. And this will be my second time to preach it, because I already preached it in the mission post in Lodi in Spanish. And so now, my wife asked me, driving from Lodi last Sunday, my wife asked me, so let's see how they come out in English. All right. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that you gave us the scripture, the Bible, the truth, the authority from God. We got no doubt in our heart that the book, the Bible, is God's word to us. And today we'd like to see some facts about the resurrection presented by the Apostle Paul. We pray then that the Holy Spirit will teach us and reveal to us the truth of the living God. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. The letter of Corinthians was written to a church who is located in the city of Corinth. And Corinth is in Greece, where all the philosophers and the great people of the particular time in which Paul lived were there. Now, if you put one hand in Corinthians and you move your Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 17, then and the book of Acts is like the history of the church for the first 30 years after the crucifixion. At least you can log 30 years of church history in the book of Acts. In chapter 17, the Bible records the presence of the Apostle Paul in a big amphitheater, in a big stadium. And guess what? There were philosophers, there were science people, and there were people questioning his faith. And the Apostle Paul preached to them Jesus. And his conclusion is in verse 32, Acts 17, verse 32. And through that verse, I came to the conclusion that the Greek people do not believe in the resurrection. Now, look what the Bible says, Acts 17, verse 32. And when they heard, they are the people of Greece, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mock, and others said, we will hear thee again on these matters, and I'm sure they left. So it is obvious that these people were indifferent to the doctrine of the church that Christ Jesus rose from the dead. Now, that do not surprise me, and I think do not surprise you also, because you as a believer, when you share your faith and you tell somebody that Jesus Christ has rose again, they think that maybe you are crazy. But what impressed me is now that the church at Corinth have been influenced by these beliefs. Go back to your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15 and look with me in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Look at what happened there. Now, he said the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see, that verse gives me the clear picture that the church of Corinth, in their study of the scripture, have been influenced by the philosophers outside the church, and now they are not believing, or at least they are questioning, the resurrection of the dead. The apostle said clearly here, how, he said, look at in the text again in verse 12, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, that explains also why in the Bible we have 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter about the resurrection. See, the truth of the resurrection is not only doctrinal, but also practical for the many implications of life. And so the Apostle Paul head on the issue of the resurrection and makes a clear exposition in 1 Corinthians 15. Now I'm going to take the first section of the Apostle exposition. There are about four sections here. Talking about resurrection of Christ, what kind of body we will have, and all kinds of things about the resurrection. I just want to take Christ's resurrection, the first portion. And in the first portion, the Apostle Paul looked at the resurrection from two different points of view. First, he looks from the negative point of view. Look at verse 14. And if Christ be no risen, that's the negative point of view. So he takes a look to the negative point of view. And then he takes a look to the positive point of view, verse 20. But now is Christ risen. You see that? He's playing with these philosophers the same thing the philosophers were doing to them. He is bringing the entire marvelous doctrine in the way they will understand. This is this teaching, this first section is explicitly written for these philosophers that they said this is not true and this is true, and they play with that back and forth. And so the apostle take the doctrine of the resurrection and said, what if Christ was not risen? And then he give us an argument. And then he said, but if Christ is risen, he gave me the other argument. So this is a very philosophical piece of a scripture, and I want to unfold it for you in a simple way. So let's take the negative verse. Verse 14. If Christ be no risen. Now let me outline for you at least four or five things that we need to know if Christ be no risen. If Christ be no risen, according to verse 14, then Christ's own testimony was untrue. Look with me in John Gospel in chapter 2. The Gospel of John in chapter 2. And in verse 18, John Gospel chapter 2, verse 18 to 21. The first thing that we notice is, if Christ were no risen, then Christ's own testimony is untrue. John Gospel chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jew and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 40 and 60 years was the temple in building. That's in Nehemiah's time. You find that in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. And will thou rear it up in 3 days? Now look at verse 21. But he spake of the temple of his body. So he talked about his own resurrection. So if Christ be not risen, Christ's own testimony was untrue. What he said to these people was completely untrue. Now, secondly, if Christ was not risen, then his disciples were completely deceived. Look with me in the scripture in Acts chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Acts chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. If Christ were not risen, then his disciples were deceived. Acts 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved, these are the officials of the church then, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus, what? The resurrection from the dead. That was the preaching of the disciples. And if Christ were not risen, then the disciples were absolutely deceived and were teaching something that was wrong. If Christ was not risen, then the Christian church is a fraud. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, what the Bible says about the Christian church. I'm not talking about Catholics or Baptists or Pentecostals. I'm talking about the Christian church, those who are Christians. If Christ were no risen, then the Christian church is a fraud. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start reading from verse 18. The Apostle Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus, another church in Greece. Verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the hope of, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, God, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he brought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. You see it again? When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fill all in all. The apostle was talking about the church in that passage. He's not talking about the resurrection in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. He's talking about the church. In talking about the church, he said, we are founded, we are built on the resurrection of the Christ, the Messiah. And so if that's not true, then I have to say the Christian church is a fraud. Majestic in a structure, but with no foundation. The Christian church can build a great organization, but if Christ is not risen, then the Christian church has no foundation whatsoever. Another implication, if Christ is not risen, number four, then we who believe are of all men the most miserable men on this earth. Look at them, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And verse 18, the apostle continues the argument. He is a great philosopher, and he challenged these philosophers to think like him. First negative, a supposition, then the reality, the positive. And so, look what he says in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, he saith again, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Man, we are gone. If Christ is not risen, we are absolutely gone. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Imagine if you take that verse alone out of the scripture. That looks very bad, don't it? Imagine if you read, somebody don't know how to read the scripture and read that verse alone thinking we're all crazy. Look at again, verse 19. If in this life only we perish, we have hope in Christ, We are of all men most miserable. So if Christ have not been risen, we are of all men on this earth the most miserable. So the apostle faced the argument. If Christ have not been risen. Then in verse 20, he switched. And look at what he says. But now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. So he bring the argument, the same argument. Now he talked like the philosophers and he let them have it. And now he's going to tell you my story. But now is Christ risen. So let me point out four or five things because Christ is risen. Number one, then our preaching is not in vain. Look at in verse 58, the very last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Because Christ is risen, our preaching is not in vain. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are we glad? Are we glad? Because Christ is risen, my brother and my sister. Our preaching is not in vain. And if somebody asks me, how is that so? Well, put one hand here and go to Matthew 28, for example. Christ just came from the tomb at Matthew 28, and he faced the disciples. And look at what he says in verse 18. Roman Catholicism took this verse and said that this is the authority of the local church. This is the authority of Christ alone, and not of any man. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Look at what he says. And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, all power, the word power should be changed to the word authority in Greek, pronounce it in this way, authoritia, where comes the word authority in English. So all authority is given unto me. Where? In heaven and on earth. Some denominations believe this is their power. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus' authority. Never given to any man. This is Jesus' authority. All power is given unto me. Now, because Jesus has risen, he has all power in heaven and on earth. Therefore, he said in verse 19, command man, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, verse 20, whatsoever I have commanded you. See, we have no authority to teach anything we want to. See that? Whatsoever I have commanded you. You Sunday school teachers, do not come up with your own ideas in your Sunday school class. You can. You have to teach the scripture. Pastor Otero cannot come up with his own ideas and teach you whatever I think is good and makes you laugh. No, I have to teach what the scripture says. Whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the earth. You see, this is wonderful. Because Jesus is risen, then our preaching is not in vain. I know that I can preach the gospel, and I know you can deny it. I know you can say you are crazy. I know you can say I go in my own way until God said it's my way and bring you in. He has authority. He has power. You say, how? I don't know. But I know that when God said you and you and you, you come to him. There is no one who can resist the power of God to bring an end into the kingdom of God. And so that's why we never fail. We preach the gospel in the hope that many will believe. And those that are ordained before the foundation of the world would believe. And God would bring them in. And so it's our job to preach and it's God's work to save. How wonderful. How wonderful. He's raising from the dead. Because he's risen from the dead, then our faith is not in vain. You want to hear it from the lips of a woman? Go to John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, we have the resurrection of Lazarus. You know that. And we have many theologians over there. But Jesus was a personal friend What I want to say now is respectfully, he was a buddy-buddy with Lazarus. They maybe loved to fish together. They maybe loved chocolate cake. Who knows? They were buddy-buddy. And Martha and Mary knew that. But Jesus is dead for 4 days. And so Jesus purposely delayed 4 days. And now he's going to visit Martha. And look at verse 24, John 11, verse 24. Verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Now, these two ladies, they knew theology. Look at what verse 24 says. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Man, that's faith. That's faith. Jesus have not yet went to the cross. The resurrection have not yet have come up. And the women believe. It's amazing. This is faith. I look on it and I said, Martha, you are full of the power of God. And so Jesus reinforced Martha's leaves in verse 25. And if you go to Washington, D.C., never miss Virginia into the tomb of your beautiful President Washington. And in that tomb, that text in the coffin right there. And look at what they said. They said this, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me, though he were dead, ye shall he live. And whosoever live and believe in me shall never die. And then the powerful question of Jesus, believest thou? Do you see it? That's faith. So because Jesus is risen, here is a woman that have heard the word of God from Jesus' lips, eating that chocolate cake, drinking that coffee in her home. Jesus has shared the word with her. And the Bible said that faith come by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. At that particular time, there was not a New Testament written, but Jesus was alive. And as he spoke, God spoke. And Mary have received it. And Martha have received it. And before even Jesus went to the cross and died and rose again, they believe it. Woo! You're talking about believers. They are. They are. Because Christ has been risen, then our preaching is not in vain. Then our faith is not in vain. Then we are not in our sins. Look at what verse Corinthians 15, verse 17 says. Again, the supposition clearly. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And you know what happened if you are in your sins. You know what happened. If you don't know, let me inform you. Go to the last book of the Bible, to the last chapter. I think it's 22 in Revelation. Before I read the glorious verse that tell us that we are not in our sins, I want you to know that if you are in your sins, if you are fooling around with this business Revelation 21, verse 27. Revelation 21, verse 27. If you say, well, I hear that from my dad, I hear that from my mom, oh, I hear this, and I don't care, or I wait. Listen, if you die in your sins, I want to show you what the scriptures say. Not what I said, I'm just a man like you. But look at what the scripture says, Revelation 21, 27. And there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that is defiled, neither whosoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. If you are not called by God in this earth, you never make it in heaven. If you stay in your sins, you never, never can be placed in the kingdom of God. So what happened to us? Ephesians chapter 2. Because Christ is risen, we are not in our sins. How do you know, Pastor? Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read from verse 4 to 6. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said to the church of Ephesus, you are dead. You are under the devil's influence. And then in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, as said the scripture, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. By grace ye are saved. And look at what happened to us now. Verse 6. Ephesians 2:6, and have raised us up together and made us sit up together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My brother and my sister, if you have come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul has a residency today, and that's in place in heaven. When you die, you need no more prayer. You need no more to bother you. You are in the presence of my God, because now you are in the presence of my God. Now. You know, in the Spanish church, when I say that, they beat the drum and they applaud. I had to stop twice. They were so excited. See, these people were taught. These people were taught. The people that were 65 people in our mission church. And they were taught that if you die, then you have to have extrema unción. It means the last minute. You have no confession. Now we have to pray for you. And when they hear it, and they saw it, you had to see them grabbing the Bible like that. When they saw it, the guy with the drum and everybody applauds. And I stop, and I want to, it's not my truck. Nothing there. Pastor doesn't say anything, so I wait until the drum stop. They feel joyful. They feel joyful. They felt in their heart, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. So because of Christ's resurrection, our preaching is not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. Then we are not in our sins. Then, them who die in Christ will be raised again. Look at 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 14. Then those who die believing in Christ Jesus will be raised again. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Knowing, said the scripture, in 2 Corinthians 2 and in verse 14, knowing, look at what the Bible says, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. In other words, be knowing, said the Apostle Paul. There are two ways to say to know in Greek. Also in Hebrew. And your King James Bible said, and Adam knew his wife. He knew who his wife was the only woman alone. The only woman in the whole universe. How can he miss it? But to knew his wife means he has intimate relationship with her. That's what that means. But there's another way to know. It is the word oido, which means to know mentally. You know math mentally until you have to pay. When you go in the store and you have to pay, you have $10, and it says $4.50, you give it $10, and then you count the money back. Is that right? Well, that is ginosko. That means to know by experience. I don't want them to cheat me. But as long as you do it in your head, you do oido. See, the Greek are very sophisticated. Well, here is the word, knowing mentally, because you are not dead yet. So knowing mentally, that if I die, the same God, the resurrected, the Lord Jesus Christ, will resurrect me. Isn't that beautiful? Because Jesus Christ has raised from the dead. One more. Because Jesus Christ have raised from the dead, then we are not of all men the most miserable. Remember what Paul was saying? If Christ have not been risen, we are of all men the most miserable, but we are not. Have you ever read 1 Thessalonians? Look it with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at what happened because of Christ's resurrection. The question was placed to Paul. Said, Paul, what happened? Some people die, they said. Some people are dead. And we thought that we're all going to be with Jesus. What's wrong? And so Paul writes to another Greek city a letter. See, the letters of the Apostle Paul are answered to questions they ask him. And so the Thessalonica people, they were really under the pressure of a lot of devils, because even they took and signed for Paul that the Lord already came, and they were there for bad. And so the Apostle Paul writes 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, means dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Now, that's remarkable. I have a little coffin with ashes about 10 years ago. And I went into the bay before 6 o'clock in the morning, and I put the ashes of this captain on the ocean. That was his will. He was a believer. And then I read this verse to the bunch of soldiers that were over there. And I said, these ashes will come up again. And everybody put their head down. I know they want to be reverent to me. But I believe it. I believe it. This is what the Bible says. And look at that, verse 15. For these we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, look at what's going to happen. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I want to tell you something. From home, we have a new dryer machine. About a year ago, we got it or something. I hate it. No, because it's bad. It's a good machine. But we know when it's finished, they make a noise that the whole neighborhood knows. That they go, like that. Wherever you are in the house, you tremble. Now listen here. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. Everybody will know. Everybody in the universe will know that Jesus is coming again. Everybody will know that Jesus is coming again. Too late for those who believe not. Too late. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. No, in this earth, the apostle did not teach that you go up, have a dinner, and come back. No, the apostle said you go up and you stay forever with him. You see how simple? Praise God. Because he's risen, we are not the most defeated men of the world. So let me close with this thought that I did close last Sunday. If the sun shall not rise again, then what would happen? But now the sun is risen and becomes self-evident. And so Christ. And so Christ. The only difference is belief. You need to believe. You need to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. You need to believe that he died because you're a sinner. And you need to believe that he rose again as a victor from the tomb. I know that what I'm asking you to believe is impossible. I know. But what the Bible says in Genesis 18:14, when God said to Sarah, 90, and 99 papa said, you're going to have a baby. Ooh, yeah, me. Well, God said, nothing is impossible for God. And so I challenge you to meditate upon these words. If you don't believe me, there is only one way to believe. Just keep on reading. Read the word. And the word will put you in a corner. Either you believe it or you don't. If you come to believe, it's the grace of God and the mercy of God in your life, and one day I see you in heaven. If you believe not, you end up in hell forevermore. You never can get out of that place. It is eternal death. And we open the doors of this church. These people so kindly give money sacrificially of their income to preach the gospel just for that motive, so that you can have the Lord Jesus into your heart too. Thank you, Father, for the lesson today. Christ has been risen. Christ is alive at the right hand of the Father. And we can broadcast the gospel over and over and over again. We can announce to people around the world that in Jesus Christ, we have victory over ourselves, over the world, over all our infirmities. Oh, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your book, the Bible, that tell us about Jesus and tell about these issues. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, that you saved him, Lord, so smart that he faced those philosophers and he played their game and then showed them the beauty and the greatness of our God, all because of grace and mercy. Lord, we are here not to win an argument. We are here to proclaim your beautiful gospel so that somebody can believe. And in believing, be with you forevermore. Oh, Father, save those who need to be saved. According to your will, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you please turn to the hymn books and right there in the pew? Number 252. Number 252. And will you stand and we sing one stanza? 252, please. Soul, He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust in more. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you more. Our Heavenly Father, we close now at the end of this morning service. We spend Sunday school hour together studying your word and now listening and praising your name. We pray that people may go home with Jesus. That they may know that we are not playing a game here. We are dealing with life eternal or death. And we want them to cross the bridge, Jesus. Lord, we cannot make them to cross the bridge, but you could. And when you call someone, they will obey. Trusting in your power. Trusting in your mercy, we say, thank you, Lord, for saving those that need to be saved. In the name of Jesus, amen.